The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
I do think, fellas, we need to look at the way they started with Peyton Manning, though, a little different, right? There's a difference between his first few games with the Broncos and Russell Wilson's first few games. Peyton Manning was coming off of not playing for a year and four neck surgeries. Like, Russell True. Wilson, I know he had the finger injury last year and missed some games, but he played in the season finale a year ago on January 4th or whatever the heck it was. He's had a normal offseason. Peyton Manning wasn't just moving to a new team and learning a new offense, getting used to new teammates. He hadn't played in almost two calendar years. It had been like 20 months or something like that since he'd thrown a football.
Yeah.
So I think that adds a lot more rust to it. Plus, he was learning to play the position differently, right? Like, he was a different player. He kind of had to reteach himself how to throw the ball after the surgeries than what he was before. So that takes it. And the fact that he was able to kind of get it going after just 5 weeks is miraculous. But it does make it a little bit different than what we're looking at here. I think that that's giving Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson a built-in excuse if they struggle early. There will be some bumps. But I don't think 2-3 out of the gate would be excusable by any means.
Well, I think that you didn't acknowledge one factor that could also be a contributing factor into why you could forecast fairly that the Broncos could start a little bit slow, is you only kept it to Russell Wilson. We got a first-time head coach. Yep. We got a first-time OC and a first-time DC. And
there,
it takes time to build rhythm, continuity, and there's going to be hard lessons learned on the job. Like,
I was pretty bad at my job my first year or two. Every job I've ever had, I was bad, right? And that's true of all of us. So, you know, Nathaniel Hackett is going to have his moments where he calls his timeouts too early and we're going to say, oh, it's Vic Fangio all over again, right?
Right.
He's going to have those moments. He'll cost the Broncos a game or two at some point.
Oh, my gosh. Because, he better not.
Yeah, he will.
He better not. No.
Just stop that, dude. That's crazy talk. That is what happens. The only coach I can think of two coaches that started as young guys without any major hiccups.
Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
And
Sean McVay.
Yes.
Okay.
They're all recent. That's it. I mean, outside of that, it's human nature that it takes you a little bit of time to be good at your job.
Well, I was going to bring up when you said, hey, he's going to cost him a couple of games. It was, how many games did Matt LaFleur cost the Packers in his first year? Now, I don't remember every game from that 16-game season, but I'd say both, 13-3. So
he's the most winningest coach in the first four years.
Three. They were 13-3 yeah. Three straight years.
Okay. We can't have free passes in May that we're all ready to give out in September, October.
Well, no. I don't think it's a free pass. I think it's looking at a brand new situation with a smidgen of wisdom.
It's just reality.
He's never done the job before. And then the guys to the left and right of him that he needs the most have never done their job either. And coaching matters. It's really important.
And it may be even bigger than all of that. I mean, you know, head coach, okay, it's hard to screw up the game too much with the timeouts, right? So maybe Nathaniel Hackett doesn't cost you a game where you feel it based off his decision. But it might cost you a game based off of rhythm and chemistry with Russell Wilson. That's going to take some time. It takes a little bit of time to figure out that quarterback, head coach, and offensive coordinator relationship.
I understand where you're coming from. I just think that's what the offseason, that's what training camp, that's what preseason's for. They go down there and they do the dress rehearsal so the coaches get used to the headsets and all that stuff. Like, you got to come out week one, no excuses. No excuses.
Well, here's the thing. We're there every day in training camp. It resembles football, but, like, it ain't what it is on game day.
It's hard to replicate all the different situations that pop up over the course of a football game. And for coaches, that's not something like you can't go on Madden and just replicate all the situations that are going to pop up. But I'll say to James's point, hey man, I got the Broncos going 2-3 of their first three games.
I got
a win against Seattle. I got a win against Houston. I got a loss against San Francisco. And quite frankly, that's a winnable football game.
Totally.
Because it's at home.
Right.
And if Trey Lance is playing, well, Lord knows what that's going to look like. So, I figured they're going to lose at least one out of their first three. But I got them off to a pretty dang good start.
I have them 3-0 and losing week four to the Raiders.
I think
that, you know, my partner, my co-host is just so people are like tripping at me, like, oh, you're pumping up the Raiders. Like, no, I just want to put respect on their name. This is a double digit playoff team with an established franchise quarterback, maybe the best receiver in the sport. Yeah. Josh McDaniels didn't forget how to coach football. Might have you know, forgot how to manage people here. But I think there's a grand assumption here in Denver that the Broncos just are automatically better than the Raiders. And I'm not going there yet.
So did you go down the list and go win-loss on every single game?
We did. That's how we finished the show.
I did that last night. We'll go through it today. We'll do all of that, of course. But it's funny. I don't know if it worked out for you guys the same way it did for me. I thought before I even saw the schedule, before I knew any of it, I said, look, they're going to be about a wild card team. That's about what they're going to be. And then lo and behold, you do the schedule, and it kind of works out that way, right? I was talking to Raj about this last night, actually. And you know, of course, you go through it, and you say win or loss versus a specific team, but there's going to be a surprise loss. There's going to be a surprise win.
Always.
It's more or less like, what do you think the football team is? Do you think they're an AFC West championship? Do you think that they're capable of limping in as a wild card team, or do you think they're bad, right? I think they're about a wild card team, and lo and behold, that's the way it worked out. I didn't try to make it work out that way. That's just the way it worked out. Now, I won't get all the games right, but I think the record will be pretty close.
Yeah, I like it. I'm sorry, James.
So a wild card team's 9-10 wins, right?
I think it's like 10.
It might have to be 10 because of the AFC.
Yeah, because Miami missed it a couple of years ago with 10 wins.
Yeah, two years ago, they're 10-6.
And now with the 17 games.
Yeah.
Have to be 10.
A 10-win team? So to be considered an AFC West contender in your mind, you're what, 12 plus?
12.
Yeah, I think you got to win. Well, I don't know about that. I think 11 could win the division. Did you guys see the story on Kansas City and their schedule?
No.
It's the first of its kind in NFL history. The first 8 games of the season, they are playing all winning teams from a year ago. There literally is not a precedent for that. If you pull up this is their first 8 games of the year. On the road at Arizona, hosting the Chargers on a short week Thursday Night Football. So their season starts on a short week. On the road against the Colts. On the road against Tom Brady and the Bucks. Hosting the Raiders, the Buffalo Bills, and on the road against the San Francisco 49ers and home against the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. Okay.
There is no weeks. There is no cookie cutter. They could... Don't forget how they started last year.
That does change my opinion a little bit. Maybe that puts a little bit more emphasis on the priority of this year. It really might. I mean, you got to take down the Chiefs. And, you know, they've historically had bad starts to the beginning of their season, and then they turn it on late in the year.
Yep.
That's a hell of a schedule. So there might be an opportunity to be had here. You just can't cannibalize yourselves amongst the Chargers and the Raiders. And best guess is that I would imagine all three of those teams, at some point, they're going to split one with one another.
Sure.
So, you know, you end up with 11, maybe 12 wins. But maybe you're right, Zach. Maybe if the Chiefs really struggle in the early parts of the season, maybe 11 can get it done for the AFC West.
I think it's very likely that the Broncos, by their bye week, could be in sole control of how they finish, considering 4 of their first 8 opponents, considering what it looks like for Kansas City. Guys, the team that we're not talking about enough, and I just, again, I'm going to get labeled this or that, the Chargers could win the division.
Of course they could.
The Chargers, look at what they added to a team that was already right there to arguably one of the great starts to a career at the quarterback position that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Herbert entered the league the greatest rookie season of all time at the quarterback position and then followed up by throwing over 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. That group puts as much fear into me when we talk about who strikes fear into you. The Chargers are always next year's champions. I got it.
I'm not convinced. I was. I loved him. And then as the year went on, you just see, gosh, that guy, he just made some dumb decisions. Some really, really bad decisions at the end of the year.
But now he did, and who would refute that? But now, it's the learning curve.
Yeah.
Now you're another year without and those mistakes under your belt.
He's just a stats guy. He's an analytics guy, and he's going to trust what the analytics tell him to do.
I think every team in the AFC West is going to go 3-3 against each other, right? Just operate under the assumption that they all split somehow with each other. Then it becomes in the other 11 games, who can go 8-3? Can the Broncos go 8-3 in their 11 non-divisional games? I think they can, and then I think you win the AFC West if you do that. 8-3 is a pretty good stretch in 11 non-divisional games.
It is, but I agree with you. I have them doing just that. I have them splitting with Kansas City, splitting with the Raiders, splitting with the Chargers. And then can you beat the teams like the Colts and the
Jaguars you got?
Well,
they got a couple of bad breaks, though, because Seattle and Jacksonville, that's two you should just put down as Ws. Now, I think they'd still win them, but... You got to go to Seattle week 1. Makes it tougher. Doesn't make it impossible, but it makes it tougher than playing there week 12. and you got to go to London for Jacksonville, makes that significantly tougher than going down to Jacksonville and playing them.
London's definitely a major wild card. There's no question.
Yeah, makes it a bit of a coin flip game that should have been an 80% chance of a Broncos
win. They're
going to
beat the brains into the Jags, though. I'm not worried about that.
I'm not either. But you look at the toughest games of the Broncos schedule comes after their bye week in week 9, where it's at Baltimore, Tennessee, at the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cardinals.
Perfect. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Exactly. The way it fell, you should have your legs under you by that point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and enjoy my Friday. You guys go do your thing, but I do have to call out James on the way out here.
Oh, good. I love this. Yeah.
I texted you this yesterday.
Yeah.
Last week, I was comparing the Nikola Jokic MVP voting. I said, don't expect it to be a Reagan in 84 landslide like it was a year ago. I went on the morning show, different audience. I said, expect hanging chads in Florida, not Reagan in 84. And then he comes on the air yesterday and said,
no.
Hey, this wasn't Reagan in 84. I said, whoa, James, can't steal my analogy like that.
I think you need to go back and figure where you got this analogy from, because in this room, there's one of us that watched the election results that night, and that's the guy that's
See,
really
but that's what you texted me back, but you didn't say you heard me. Challenge flags.
Sounds suspect.
I love the history of politics.
I mean, if you said it first, you know what he would have said? I said it first.
Exactly. I watched it.
He wouldn't have said I was alive.
All right.
He would say, I said it.
How many states did Walter Mondale win in that election?
Oh, shut your mouth.
James.
Just shut your face.
One. See, this is why he's tough to play two-hand touch with in a phone booth, because he'll never let you ring him in.
He won his home state of Minnesota. That was it. All right.
Have fun, fellas.
Appreciate it. Calling me out on your way out.
Always.
Heading into the weekend.
I got to keep you accountable.
So you did go through, Tyler. And go game by game, put together how you think this team is going to fare.
Of course.
I did as well. It is, and I heard Stokely and Zach doing it, and they called it kind of the silliest thing that you do on the sports calendar.
Well, it's obligatory.
I totally agree, but it is obligatory. You have to do it.
It's fun. It's a little bit silly, but it's fun.
Nobody's going to hold us to it, but it's kind of fun to map it out, see how we think it's going to shake out. We will do that. We will break down the schedule game by game, give our predictions coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
James Morales from DenverFan.com filling in for D-Mac. Tyler Palumbus is here.
Tyler, yesterday while we were on the air, there were leaks coming out about the schedule. I think by the time we got off the air, we knew four games for sure. We had a rumor about some other ones. Most of those came true. The Kansas City primetime game week 14. But we have it all in front of us. We have the slate. We know the 17 games. 8 games, then a bye, and then 9 games after the Broncos go to London. I know it seems kind of silly. I know it seems like a bit of an exercise in futility, but we're going to do it anyway. By goodness, we're going to go game by game.
Yeah.
Say win, loss, or tie. You can throw out a tie if you want to.
Right.
I have no idea.
James, it's America.
You would.
Yeah, right.
But you could throw that out there. We're going to see where you've got the Broncos falling and I've got the Broncos falling. It's our way to start going through the schedule today. We'll get into it as the show goes on, too. Some of the pitfalls and some of the quirks and things like that. But you ready to go game by game?
I'm ready. Let's rock and roll, baby.
Here we go. Week 1, Monday Night Football, Broncos at the Seahawks.
I love this game. I love the passion. I love the energy. I love the excitement. I love that it's Monday Night Football. It's not going to be an easy game. It's going to be low scoring. I won't do this for every game, by the way, but it's going to be a low scoring game. You've got two new QBs on each side. You've got the new head coach for the Denver Broncos, and Seattle's a really tough place to play. So a little bit tougher game than maybe it should be. I got the Broncos winning in a low scoring affair.
I see this as the toughest possible week that the Broncos could have played in Seattle. I think people start panicking early. Because I think the Broncos lose the opener of the Russell Wilson era.
Oh,
all right,
my gosh. I can hardly even pass over that, though. Can you imagine the drama if Drew Lock beats Russell Wilson?
I know. I'm not rooting for it. I just
yes,
have a
you
bad
are.
Feeling.
You're such a liar.
That's the way it's going to go. Then they return back home week two. The Houston Texans come to town. I think we can both safely say that's a win. I know that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better start to the schedule. I think the Broncos will beat the Seahawks. It is a road game. It's going to be a tough road game, but I think they're going to beat the Seahawks. And then you get a cupcake game back at home. That's a dream start for a new coach, for a new quarterback. It took Peyton Manning 4 or 5 games to get himself clicking. It'll take these guys some time as well. Absolutely a win.
All right, week three gets a little bit tougher. The San Francisco 49ers come to town. Sunday Night Football, September 25th. How are you feeling about that?
You know, so a little bit later, I want to do something different with the schedule, and we're going to identify turning points, like most important games for the season. A little bit of a tease here. This game against the 49ers is arguably one of the most important games of the entire season. It could be the difference between a great season and an okay season, in my opinion. I got a loss to the 49ers, but that partially depends on who's playing quarterback. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing quarterback, I might turn that into a win.
I think this is the game. If they give one away in Seattle, they got to get it back at some point. I think this is where they get it back. First primetime game with Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett at home. I think the crowd will be going crazy. I mean, that Texans game, it'll be the home opener, but still, everybody knows it's the Texans. This will be the game where Empower Field has the energy. I think they get that win. We both got them at 2-1 when September ends. All right, October 2nd at Las Vegas. First divisional game of the year, Tyler, on the road at Allegiant Stadium. Win or loss for the Broncos?
So a little bit of a preview here. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit. That's okay. This is going to take a long time anyway. So here's how I see the AFC West shaking loose. I've got the Broncos sweeping against the Raiders. I got them splitting against the Chargers and splitting against Kansas City. It'll be interesting to hear what I've got to say about the Kansas City games. But you got to sweep against one of those three teams if you want to be in contention for a wild card spot, yet alone winning the AFC West. So I'm picking the Raiders as the sweep team, and I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping and praying that that comes true.
I look at this game a little bit like I look at the opener. I think it's one that Josh McDaniels is going to have circled for what it'll be, 6 months from now until then. I think he's going to have this one as a game that he's eyeing. I think the Broncos are better than the Raiders. That doesn't necessarily mean you beat them every time you face them. I think they lose week four at Las Vegas. All right, they come back short week Thursday yep. night football. The Indianapolis Colts, they team with the new quarterback in Matt Ryan. A ton of talent. Team that it's hard to believe they didn't make the postseason last year. All they had to do was beat the Jaguars.
Most Pro Bowlers in the NFL.
In the final game of the year, they didn't make it. I think the Broncos catch a huge break getting them on a short week at home. I think the Broncos beat the Colts. This is a game that, depending if it fell somewhere else, would probably be a loss for me. I'm going win for the Broncos week five.
You know, the short week is the biggest factor in this game. Unfortunately, because we're playing the Colts early in the season, I don't think the Broncos will have fully clicked. I think the Colts are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Like, I'm a Colts believer. I'm a Matt Ryan believer. And I think they're going to be good. Unfortunately, I think the Broncos dropped this one. And so I've got the Broncos at 3-2 to start the season.
As do I. Then they go on the road. They'll have a extended week here. That's their mini bye. Plus, when they come back, they don't play till Monday night, October 17th. At the Chargers, first trip of two to SoFi Stadium. Monday Night Football, October 17th at the Chargers, Tyler.
I got a loss. I'm gonna have them split with the Chargers. I'll have them win at home. I got them losing on the road.
All right, I think they win this game, just given the fact that they do have 11 days between the games. So I'm going to do a W for the Broncos. They come back October 23rd. They've got the Jets at Empower Field.
Yep, so I think we can do 2-for-1 here. You got Jets, and then you got at Jags in London coming up after that. I don't know if you're going to say something surprising, but I got win-win for both of those games. James, what do you got?
I've got win-win as well. I think the Jets game will be a laugher. I think it'll go the way everybody expects it to go. I think the game in London is going to be trickier than people think. For whatever reason,
Jacksonville. The location makes it tricky.
Yeah, it's a weird trip. Jacksonville does it all the time, so they know how to deal with it better. I know it's a new coaching staff, but, you know, just as a franchise, as an organization, they've dealt with it. It's all new, from advancing it, where you're staying, and all those kind of things. How do you get around? It'll all be new for the Broncos. I think it makes it a little trickier, but I agree. I think they get a win. So here we are sitting at the bye. I've got the Broncos at 6-2.
I got them 5-3. I got them 5-3.
Yep. All right. Yep. So they come back. They have a bye week after the trip to London. They come back, go to Tennessee. By the way, if you're looking for a road trip,
that's a fun one.
This is the road trip. You can catch Missouri at Tennessee on Saturday.
Okay.
Less than a three-hour drive on I-40.
I could not care less about those two, but
I know,
okay.
But it's a college football venue. It's a cool one to see one in, right?
Okay.
Then you catch the Broncos and the Titans at Nissan Stadium Sunday, November 13th. What do you think?
I got a loss here. So, you know, I've got the Broncos as a wild card team. I'll be right on some games. I'll be wrong on some. So I might get a couple flipped. But I got this one as a loss. That's a tough road game against a good team.
I'm with you. I think they lose this game. I think it's one of those games where we come in here on Monday and we're talking about Russell Wilson standing on the sideline too much because they're just going to run the ball and play keep away.
Yeah.
I just think that's a game where, yeah, you have a bye week, but you maybe get a little rest during that time. I think the Broncos drop that one. Then they return November 20th at home against Vegas. I had them losing to the Raiders the first time. I think they win this one. I believe
I got them sweeping
split.
The Raiders. No, I got them sweeping the Raiders. Raiders.
Okay.
So they're my sweep team.
So we both have W's here.
I'm with Stokely, baby. Raiders suck.
And now, to me, they got one more game, and then is when it starts to get tough. So the last game that
McDaniels
of the first 12 weeks, where I think they have to make some hay. I think they got to be 8-3 after the first 12 weeks. I think that's exactly where they'll be because they go down to Carolina Thanksgiving weekend. This would have been a great road trip as well if it wasn't a holiday weekend.
I got that
back
W,
Carolina,
baby. I got
that's
that
a W.
W
for the Broncos.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Now, the big stretch, they follow that up with a back-to-back road game. First of their back-to-backs, I guess Jacksonville and Tennessee technically are, but you have a bye between them. Sunday, December 4th at Baltimore. That's a tough game to be.
Turning point game.
Long trip. That's a loss for me.
Turning point game for the Denver Broncos. I got that as a loss as well.
All right, so there we are through 12 games. I've got the Broncos at 8-4. You've got them at 7-5. 17-week schedule takes longer than you think.
Takes
to get
a little
through
bit.
It
takes a little bit of time.
Five games to go. Really, it's the meat of their schedule. I mean, the last six games, starting with that Baltimore game, are going to be tough. How does it all shape up? Where do the Broncos end up? We'll finish going through the schedule coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Tyler, we're going game by game through the Broncos' schedule. We got through 13 weeks through 12 games. Me being the eternal optimist, I had them at 8-4 at that point. You've got them at 7-5.
I do. Yep.
Now,
so we're only off by one.
Now, they're heading into the tough part of their schedule. It really starts once the calendar turns to December.
Yeah.
That December 4th game in Baltimore, we've already picked it. We both had them losing that game. They're 7-5 heading into five tough games. I think if that turns out to be the case, people are going to be panicking. I know we've only
panicking? Got panicking. I'm not going to be panicking. I'm going to feel great.
No, no,
I'm
going to
feel fantastic.
People are going to be thinking they're not going to make the playoffs.
No,
maybe get to 10 wins. I know we only got a one game difference, but 8-4 and 7-5 feel drastically different.
I've already identified two turning point games in the season. Okay, and those are the differences between a great season and an okay season. I doubt if in year one the Denver Broncos are going to win all the turning point games, but I identified the 49ers as a game that's very winnable for the Broncos, especially if Trey Lance is playing. I'll switch my prediction on that one if Trey Lance is the starter, but I got them losing that one. And then the Baltimore game is another game that is a turning point game between a great season and an okay season. I got them losing against Baltimore, but if you win those two games, all of a sudden you're sitting there with 9 wins heading into the bye.
Then you're looking at it and saying, hey, is this a team that's competing for the number one seed?
Absolutely.
Right? If you win both those turning point games, games that, you know, maybe aren't even quite coin flips, right? Maybe even a little bit less than a 50-50 game for the Broncos.
Yeah.
If you can win both of those, then you're looking at doing something special. But you've got them at 7-5. I've got them at 8-4. Let's head into the final five games here and continue this process. All right, week 14, Sunday night football. The Kansas City Chiefs come to Denver to take on the Broncos. Does the streak finally end at that point?
13
straight.
How many years is Russell Wilson going to play here for the Denver Broncos?
12.
12 years. Okay, you're buying the hype of what Russell Wilson's saying. So, in theory, he should play the Chiefs 24 times, okay?
Yep.
If he plays the Chiefs 24 times, I got him winning about 12 of them. That's the way I see it going for the rest of the career, for the rest of the time that Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes are going up against one another. I see it as being about a 50-50 battle. I think Russell Wilson can win about half of them. He's not going to win more than that. Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. Sadly, James, I do not have the Denver Broncos ending the streak against Kansas City at home in that game. I've got an L right there.
That's your second back-to-back second period here. We've had back-to-back losses.
It's been two big games. Two tough teams. Are the Broncos, are they ready to compete with the best teams in the NFL yet? Basically what I'm telling you is no. I don't think they are. Not yet.
Russell Wilson was brought in here for the big picture, right? It's for multiple seasons. It's for being a Super Bowl contender. It's for being relevant and all those kind of things. He was also brought in to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs.
No doubt about
it. Broncos haven't beaten him since the week two of 2015. That will have been more than 7 years by the time this game rolls around.
So that's a long time.
This is a huge game for the Broncos, huge game for Russell Wilson. It is Sunday Night Football. The nation will be watching. The Broncos will end the streak at 13.
Okay.
And get the win over the Chiefs. Week 14.
Well, you're sitting in great shape right now. According to your record, the Broncos, not only are they in great shape for a wild card appearance, hey, they're still in the conversation for winning the AFC West.
They are.
Depending on what they do with the remainder of the schedule.
I think that's a game that at that point will put them in the driver's seat. Now, they got some tough ones coming up here, and I don't necessarily know that those are going to go Denver's way, but after that game, they're in the driver's seat. Then they host the Arizona Cardinals at home on December 18th.
James, the Cardinals are a bunch of frauds. I don't care what anybody says. I've been calling that from day one. I've been saying the Cards are a bunch of frauds. Even when they were on that 7-game winning streak or whatever it was at the beginning of last year, I said they were frauds then. I believe it now. I don't believe in Kyler Murray. Everybody call me crazy. I know. Crazy Tyler doesn't believe in Kyler Murray. I don't. That's an easy win in my opinion.
I'm with you. I think it's a win. I think if you had Arizona early in the season, it would be tougher.
Totally agree.
I think Kyler Murray's beat up by week 15. I think that makes it an easier game.
Yes.
So I think the Broncos get the win. All right. Christmas Day in L.A., second trip to SoFi Stadium against the defending champion Rams. Merry Christmas or not a Merry Christmas in Broncos country?
I forgot that was on Christmas Day when I was making my prediction, to be totally honest with you. Unfortunately, I do not have it being a Merry Christmas. But, James, that is, again, now that's my third turning point game of this season. So, you know, you don't have to win all three of those. But if you win one, you're in good shape. If you win two, you're in great shape. If you win all three of those turning point games, you're going to be the number one seed coming out of the AFC. So I got it as a loss, although I am so curious to see who the Rams are going to be this year. I really am. And I don't know. I don't know who they will be.
Yeah, they feel like a team that could have usually the Super Bowl hangover goes to the team that loses it. They feel like a team that is going to have a Super Bowl hangover after winning it. I don't think they're going to be the same old Rams. I do think this is a loss. I think it's a tough game. I think Christmas Day on the road makes it tricky. Wouldn't shock me if the Broncos won it, but I'm going to put them down for a loss here. All right, New Year's Day, Sunday, January 1st. This is where the AFC West will be decided. I can guarantee you one thing when the Broncos go to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. It's currently scheduled to be an 11 o'clock kickoff here locally. I think
that's going to get flexed.
Zero chance.
Yeah.
That's either going to be the afternoon game on CBS.
We're having a bad year if that doesn't get flexed.
Right. Or it's getting flexed into Sunday Night Football. So yeah. I will be shocked if that game actually kicks off at 11 o'clock here in Denver. But week 17, January 1st at Kansas City. I had them beating the Chiefs the first time they played them. I think they're going to split. I think this game ultimately decides the AFC West. And I think the Chiefs continue their reign in the division.
Okay. Well, I too have got the Chiefs as a split. You know, I put out my predictions on Twitter last night, and I went game by game. So I didn't just put out a number. I told everybody what my specific predictions are, right? Because we might as well have some fun and put our names on it, right? Where's everybody else on this station, by the way?
Hey,
why is everybody not putting numbers out there? Give me the specific wins. Here's where people are calling me crazy when they're looking at my tweet. They're like, what? You've got the Broncos losing to the Chiefs at home? And you got them winning against the Chiefs on the road out in Kansas City in week 16? Yeah, I do. That's exactly what I've got. I've got them losing at home because they're not ready to beat the Chiefs the first time they play them. I've got them winning on the road because what happened with Peyton Manning when he first got here? It took some time. By the time they got to the end of the season, they were the hottest team in the NFL. Broncos might not be the hottest team in the NFL, but I bet they're going to be peaking at the end of the year. And I got them ending the streak out in Arrowhead in Week 16.
That would be a happy new year in Broncos country, that's for sure. I think they lose that game. I have them splitting as well. People say that. I'm like, you're winning on the road and losing at home to the Chiefs? Yeah, that's what happened in 2015 when the Broncos went on and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They won out there in Week 2 and then lost in the game where Peyton Manning had a 0.0 passer rating, broke the all-time passing record. It was a strange day. But
he got booed off the field. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Not outside the room.
That was the first time in my life I'd ever been mad at Denver Broncos fans, and I was mad at that moment.
You know,
you booed Peyton Manning off the field? Are you kidding me? I was mad.
I'm a booer. I will.
Oh, we know.
For professional sports.
Yeah, no, you're a professional booer.
I'll boo college coaches. I won't boo college players. I certainly won't boo high school either one. Booing Peyton Manning in that situation is off the charts ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm with you on that one. All right, season finale.
Week 17.
We don't know when it's going to be. It's either a Saturday game or a Sunday game. It's the Chargers at Empower Field. I think the Broncos will be playing for playoff position here. They don't want to go into the postseason on a 3-game losing streak. I think they avoid that. They get the win in the finale at home.
So, James, for me, the entire season comes down to this game, Week 17. I got them at 9 wins coming into Week 17. Ooh. Maybe 9 wins will sneak into the playoffs. I doubt it.
Heading into the finale is what you've got them?
Yep. I doubt that that's enough. In my opinion, it's come down to Week 17. Win and you're in. Lose and you go home. I got the Chiefs. Holy cow. Rewind. Hit that rewind. I've got the Denver Broncos peaking at the right time at the end of the season. They win one against the Chiefs. They win one against the Chargers. They sneak into the playoffs with a wild card appearance.
Man, Tyler, you've got them at 8-7 heading into Kansas City.
Yeah.
Needing to get a win there to avoid falling to 8-8.
Yes. Yes. That's what I got.
People, you think it's a big term to throw around. If they're 8-7 heading into that game, people will be panicking about how it's a total failure in year one with Russell Wilson and year one with Nathaniel Hackett, because most folks will assume that's going to be a loss and looking at it saying, oh my God, how's this team 8-8 with
maybe
Russell Wilson?
Maybe. But I would argue that, I would counter that with people will not be panicking because if they drop a few games in the early part of the season and then they start to peak at the late part of the season and the fans get to see that it's clicking, that it's starting to roll, nobody's going to care about this year. Nobody's going to panic about where they're at this year. Oh. As long as they're showing the potential of what they should be in the future when the season is ending, I think the fan base is going to be okay. In my opinion, it's never been about year one. It wasn't about year one with Peyton Manning when he got here. Year two is when you got all the free agents. That's when you went nuts and everybody came here. Year two is when you'll get the free agent effect with Russell Wilson. And I think no matter what, fans are going to be okay because I got the Broncos playing good football at the end of the year.
No, you've got plenty of periods here where people are going to be panicking. 3-3, 8-7. It's going to be panic mode. At the end, if it ends up 10-7 and they get in the playoffs, then I think we'll all be fine. I've got them at 11-6. You've got them at 10-7. That is how we got there going game by game. We will jump into other kind of quirks and interesting points of the schedule as the show goes on. But once again, Tyler, I'm the optimist. I've got them at 11-6. I think they'll actually tie the Chiefs at 11-6. I think the Chiefs will win the tiebreaker. They're going to be that close to winning the AFC West.
Hey, before you take us out here, I just want to take a second to acknowledge D-Mac here. A lot of people are wondering where D-Mac has been. It's not like D-Mac to not be around. He never misses time. D-Mac is going through some tough stuff right now. His brother is in the ICU at this moment out in Boston. Unfortunately, there was a tough incident that happened earlier in the week. D-Mac is out in Boston right now. His brother's fighting for his life. And, keep D-Mac in your thoughts and prayers. And, just know that's where he's at. And if you want to send him some well wishes, please do.
Yeah. No, very well said. Our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with D-Mac and his family. As they're going through all of this. All right, we went through the Broncos schedule. We have more schedule-related news. The Avs, feels like they haven't played in forever. We now know who they're going to play, and we kind of know when they're going to play. We'll talk about that coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Tyler, it feels like weeks since the Avs last played a game.
I know.
They played Monday night and swept the Predators. I think maybe it feels like it's been a long time because that series was over once they went up 2-0. So, yeah, they had to play Game 3 and they had to play Game 4 in Nashville. But it was kind of a foregone conclusion. So it feels like they haven't played a meaningful game in a long, long time. We now know who they will play. So last night in Game 6 between the Wild and the Blues in St. Louis with a chance to close out Minnesota. The Blues win 5-1, but how about Minnesota benching Fleury in a game they have to win to save their season? The guy they acquired at the trade deadline, a guy who made me worry about Minnesota in the postseason.
Yeah, yesterday you don't want to play him because of Fleury.
Yeah, and he's won multiple cups. Like, that's a guy who can carry a team. And maybe he's not the same goalie he used to be, but can he carry a team to the cup? Maybe not, but could he carry him in a series or certainly help you steal a game or two and make you nervous? Yeah, he gets benched. They go with Cam Talbot instead. He gives up 4 goals on 26 shots. They get routed 5-1. The Wild are done. Nobody in Denver is going to shed any tears for that. So the Avs will get the Blues in round 2. Been a lot of rumors about when that will be, maybe even starting as early as this weekend. We now know the Avs will practice on Sunday, so that means they will not be playing on Sunday. Game 1 will be either Monday or Tuesday at Ball Arena. So it'll be Avs and Blues, second year in a row. Last year it was a cakewalk for Colorado. Do you think it'll go similarly this year, or does it make you nervous at all?
I'm not overly nervous. The second round's got that just bad juju attached to it for the Colorado Avalanche. I'm a little bit excited by it. You know, from a pure fan's perspective, I would have preferred watching the Avalanche face off against the Wild because there's a little bit more emotional investment in that. But there's a little bit of emotional investment in the Blues as well. You know, when I think of this, I mean, the first thing I think about, I think about our guy Landy. Get some blues.
Yep.
I didn't forget that beat down. Did you forget that beat down?
No.
I mean, that was, there's a lot of great hockey fights, but first off, it was a great call. It was a great fight. And so, you know, I think that's what this matchup's going to be. I do. I it's going to be different than Nashville. I think Nashville tried to do that a little bit. They didn't try. They did do it. They just weren't successful. They tried to get physical with Avalanche. They tried to scrum it up a little bit more. I have no doubt in my mind that if the Blues have got any chance in this series at all, it's because they're going to come out there and play a physical brand of hockey that the Avs are going to have to skate around. And, you know, every now and then you might have to step up to the plate and not skate away like Jared Bednar has said about the first round. You might have to step up to the plate and, you know, give a little bit of chin music.
Yeah, there will be some familiar faces, that's for sure. Ryan O'Reilly, who made headlines last year and then couldn't back it up by talking.
Oh, what did he say last year again? I remember he said something insane.
He was talking trash at the beginning of the series and, you know, talking big. And I don't remember exactly what it was. I just know he ended up putting his foot in his mouth.
It was bulletin board yeah, stuff, though, right?
We're going to beat the Avs and then they go get swept.
Yeah.
Brandon Saad, who was here last year, is now a member of the Blues. So a couple of familiar faces. Do I think it's going to be as easy as last year? No. Jordan Binnington is playing really well in net for St. Louis. He doesn't worry me, though, in the way that Fleury does. And I know everybody's telling me I need to get over it because he's not the same goaltender. I get it. He was on the bench in Game 6 for a reason. I think this is good news for the Avs. I think they will I don't think they'll coast to a win over St. Louis like they did last year in the first round, but I do think this is a series that they'll win in 5 or 6. It will start early next week. It'll be good to just get back out there. Feel again like it's been forever. Got to get through the second round, Tyler. Got to get through it. We've been basically going through the motions for a year to get right back to this point. right? Like the regular season was fun and they had a lot of big games and big moments and put up a lot of goals and there were a lot of highlights. First round was great, but it was all about getting back to this point and avenging what happened a year ago against Vegas when they were up 2-0. They were leading deep into game three. People were talking about, hey, this Avs team may not lose a game en route to the Stanley Cup, which was hyperbolic, but that's how well they were playing. Flipped a switch in a bad way, turned on a dime, and they didn't win another game. Their season was over in six days. So it's been all about getting to here and avenging that. I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, there's been conversation about the time off for the Avalanche. Was that a good thing or is that a bad thing? I mean, you know, ideally when you're in the playoffs and things are going well, you just want to keep going. You just want to play the next game. I don't think it's a bad thing, but there's a little part of me that's just going to be curious to see, did the time off create any rust or not? I doubt it. I really do doubt it. The best thing the Blues have got going on right now is they've got a hot goaltender. I mean, Bennington is he's playing really good hockey right now, and we know what that could do when you go up against a hot goaltender. He could win a game. A hot goaltender could win a game, maybe even two, but a hot goaltender cannot win a series, in my opinion. Eventually, the Avalanche get enough shots on net. Eventually, enough are going to go through. So I feel good about the matchup. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to get game one out of the way because it feels like it's been forever. Don't know if it's going to be Monday or Tuesday just yet. I hope it's on Monday.
I think the Avs will come out flying. I think they'll be rested. Getting the first two games at home, obviously, will be huge. I do think going to St. Louis will be tougher than going to Nashville. I think the Predators fans are kind of front runners, right? They're when they were good a couple of years ago, when they were contender, man, that building was rocking, and now everybody's moved on to other things. St. Louis is a hockey town, and people are going to be into it. You're going to be hearing Laura Branigan playing if they win games at home, and that's going to be rolling, so it certainly won't be as easy, but it will be fun. There is some bad
Darcy's
blood.
Going to be good to go, by the way.
He is going to be good to go. We found out yesterday that he's been cleared, so he's
good
for game one.
Did we ever find out what the specific injury was? I mean, I know it's an eye issue.
Which in hockey means it's an upper body injury.
Right, that's right. Exactly right. I mean, I'm just curious, did he specifically get nicked on the eyeball? And does that affect the vision? Did he get hit on the orbital bone and there's swelling? And ideally, that's what it is, and the swelling's gone down. But either way, he's going to be back, and that's great news for the Avalanche.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll be interesting to see how he plays getting back out there, right? His last moment on the ice was certainly not one that I'm sure he'll remember fondly, so they'll take a little bit to get over that. Kind of a mental hurdle with that. In game one, but he'll be back out there. So it'll start early next week, Monday or Tuesday. As soon as we know the schedule, we will let you know. All right, Tyler, yesterday we spent the better part of the show talking about Jerry Jeudy. He's back in the news for the same issue today. We have some clarification. We'll talk about that with the big story of the day coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.